Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning, church. And if you would, just kind of throw them open there this morning. I actually started preaching a message last week. And then as I got this week, had some time and I began to do more investigating on what the Holy Spirit wanted to do and what the Lord wanted to say to you. So we'll call last week's message a mini introductory to where we're headed this morning, because I'm taking off with a whole new title, whole new thing this morning. And so if you're taking notes, you should be. The title of this message here for the next few weeks is going to be the 316 principle to fellowship. It'll all make sense in just a minute. Well, probably not, because I'm not going to get very far in it today. I can already tell I'm real excited about this, but I got a lot of ground to cover. You know, I'm just telling you, church, right now, for y'all that are sitting here listening right now, those that are watching, I'm telling you, God wants to have fellowship with you. What's happening in the world today, the move of God's Spirit going over the whole face of the earth today, is He wants to talk to you. He wants to visit with you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you, that every day of your life, you're hearing God's voice, and He's speaking to you, and He's revealing Himself to you, and He's helping you, and He's showing you, and He's walking with you hand in hand. But as you know, even in a natural settings, fellowship or relationships just don't happen, all right? There's some effort you have to put in to if you want to have relationships. If you want to have a relationship with someone in this church, you can't come into this church every Sunday, sit down, not say hello to anybody, and walk out the door and be mad because nobody said anything to you. I mean, the Bible even says that a man who wants friends has to show himself friendly, right? And I understand we all have issues and problems and dealing with people and trust issues and things like that, but the point I'm trying to make is your relationship is only going to be as deep as you're wanting to put any effort into it, all right? And so I was praying and going over the message, you know, looking it over for this week, and it was just like the Holy Spirit spoke something to me, and I was like, wow, I never really looked at it like this. So we're going to step back. We're going to take some time. We're going to look at what does it mean to have relationships? What does it mean to have fellowship? What is God really trying to say? And what are we looking for? Because if you don't know what you're looking for, it's kind of hard to find it. Hello? Have y'all ever had something that was, you know, like you grew up and it was called something, and then all of a sudden somebody else called it something different, and then you don't know what they're talking about, and then you finally figure out, oh, it's all the same thing. We just got two different words for it. Well, it's the same thing. I'm telling you this morning, God wants to have fellowship with you, but if you don't understand what fellowship is, then how do you know what God's trying to do to you, or with you, or through you, or in you, right? So I want to just take some time here. We're going to go through this thing. First thing I want y'all to look at and think about is your natural relationships, all right? I put it into five categories. Maybe there's more categories than this, but I put it into five categories that you have. I'm calling them known persons. If you saw the guy on the street, he may say, hey, how you doing? And you say, oh, hey, how you doing? And then somebody said, well, who is that? And you say, I don't really know, but I know I've seen him before. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got those people? You recognize their face, but you don't really know who they are. Nothing much about them. You just say, oh, hi. You know, you try to just hope that they don't pin you into some way that you have to come up and say, oh, hi, Bob. You know, and you don't know what his name is, right? So then the second level, I guess you'd call them, would be acquaintances. Now, this person you know a little better. You know what they do, and you know where they live. So somebody says to you, meet them on the street and say, oh, hey, Bob, how you doing? And they say, you know, who's that? And, oh, that's, you know, that's so-and-so. He runs a store over there in Lakey. Y'all with me? You know a little bit more. But you don't really know where he lives. You don't know what his phone number is. He's not on speed dial. Right? That's acquaintances. And we all have acquaintances in life. All right? Then the third one would be what I'm going to call casual friends. In other words, you traffic the same places as they do. So maybe you run into this person every time you're in HEB, or every time you go to the parts store, or you're in the lumber company, you know they're a contractor or whatever, and you keep running into them, and you see them there because you're buying lumber and they're buying lumber. You're trafficking in the same places all the time, so you see them more often. I'm just going to say they're casual friends, right? So that you could walk in there. I've got a lot of people, and it's really funny being in the ministry and being on television and radio. People will call me, and I mean, people will see me, and they'll come up to me and talk to me like I know them, like because they've been listening to me over the radio, and so they have a relationship with me based on the radio and what I say in church and what they pick up, and depending on how much they listen, they know me pretty well, but I don't know who they are. And then I get stumped. I'm like, dear God, do I know that person? Am I supposed to know that person? I one time had a person come up to me, and actually I was in a parking lot. He's walking out, and this guy comes and says, oh, so that's the truck. And I'm like, excuse me? And somewhere in a message I'd preached one time, I talked about my truck, and they were knew it was me, and they said, yeah, you really like that truck? And I'm like, how do I know you? You know, I mean, you're freaking me out here, you know, but they knew me from radio. So these people are just casual friends. You know, they traffic in the same places. You know them, but you don't know where they live still, and you don't go to their house, and you don't whatever. Then you've got friends, someone who you spend enough time with that you know what they like. Now listen to me here, okay? Let me say that again. A friend is someone who you spend enough time with that they know what you like. So now you're going to the next level of friendships. You do know where the person lives, and you know they love spaghetti night. And so you invite them to go out, and y'all go out to eat spaghetti because you know they love spaghetti, right? But that's where the friendship or the relationship ends, because they're good for a few laughs, they're good for a party, they're good to talk to, but it takes me to the last place. They're not close friends. A close friend, now listen, I like this definition the Holy Spirit gave me. A close friend knows you and still likes you. That's a close friend. He knows you and he still likes you. All right? He knows you're goofy. He knows you're great and he knows you're goofy. He knows you're a lot of fun to be around with, or you can be a pain. Hello? And they still like you. And they choose to want to be with you. You know, and you look at Jesus' ministry, he had 12 disciples, but when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he only took three with him. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he only took three with him. Well, what was the other guys? Well, even Jesus in his own circles had some intimate, close friends. He didn't have everybody wasn't his friend. Think about it. Jesus had the woman who came up and touched the hem of his garment, and he touched her and had some interaction with him, but she wasn't his friend, right? And then he had the other disciples with him, but not all of them were as close of friends to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration with him. So, these five areas, the known person, the acquaintance, the casual friend, the friend, and the close friend, all right? Now, I'm doing some definitions here before I get into the meat of this thing. So y'all just hang on. So then it brings us to the point of relationships or fellowship. And I want to define this because I want you to understand what I'm talking about. When I say fellowship, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. A relationship is the way people are connected. All right? So all of y'all in here this morning, if you attend Living Waters Church on a consistent basis, you have a relationship to people. So then depending on what category they fall into, if somebody said, well, how do you know him? I said, oh, well, we go to church together, right? That's your relationship. That's how you relate to them. Or, oh, that's so-and-so from the lumber company. Oh, no, that's so-and-so from over here. You see what I'm saying? This is, it's a relationship. That's it. It ends. Fellowship, though, on the other hand, is when two people begin to trust one another and they're willing to expose their true selves. That's really fellowship. You're only going to have fellowship usually with a close friend. Because that person, remember, knows you, but he still likes you. So you only have fellowship with close friends who you can become vulnerable to, expose your inner weaknesses to, and they can relate to it, and they're going to help you and encourage you and strengthen you, and likewise you to them. Now, if you think you have a close friend, but all you want them to do is to help you in your life, but you're not willing to help them in their life, well, you may think they're a close friend to you, but you're not a close friend to them because you're not willing to give anything. You're in the relationship to see what you can get. There's a lot of Christians in the world that are in the relationship with God because they want something. They want God to be their magic genie. They want God to come out of the lamp whenever they rub it and he puffs and does a miracle for them and sets things straight. They don't really want to have fellowship with him. They just want to have a relationship with him. How many of y'all, this is not a bad thing, but if you know somebody who is in a position of authority, you know, whatever it be, the president of a bank, mayor, city councilman, somebody's in charge of a whatever, that when you meet those people, you want to be nice to them because someday you may need them. That's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, I want to know who the county judge is because I ever get thrown in jail, I want to hopefully get out, right? I may not have it. Fellowship with him, but I do want to have a relationship with him. I want him to recognize my face. Hey, it's me. Remember me? Can you help me here? But it's God wants more from us now than he's ever before because he doesn't want to just have a relationship with you. He doesn't want to just be the person you go to when you're in trouble. And that's the only, you're just talking to him because you want God to do something for you. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to understand that he loves you and wants to be right in the midst of your problem and be right there with you and be a friend. Or I should say, be a close friend. You following what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to me that the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to come down and sit and talk with me all day long, but he does. Is it because Robert's so great? No, it's because of the blood of Jesus and my faith and my belief in him. But to just think about that he wants to sit down and talk with me. You can say, well, surely God has more better things to do than sit and talk to me. I'm sure he does, but he's God and he can do whatever he wants to do. And he does say he wants to sit and talk to me. That he has thoughts that are so numerous about me that it's more than the sands of the sea. What? What? I got to admit, I got some close friends and I don't have more thoughts than the sand of the sea about them. I mean, I love them. I do anything in the world for them. But I mean, my God, the more than the sand of the sea. I mean, I don't think I could do a handful. I don't know how many grains of sand's in a handful of sand, but, it's a lot. I'm just saying, more than the whole beach. God thinks about me more than the whole beach and has known me since I was in my mother's womb. Well, if he thinks that much of you and cares that much about you, don't you think he wants to have a close friendship, fellowship with you? It boggles the mind. I know it's too good to be true. But I'm telling you, God wants to sit down with you while you're drinking a cup of coffee, even when your hair's messed up, not when you got your good clothes on to come to church. I mean, when you're a mess, God wants to sit down and talk to you. He wants to have a relationship, a fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you and it's not just about how can he help you, it's that he enjoys it. Think about that for a minute. You think the relationship is one-sided? I don't understand it. I don't. My little brain has a hard time computing it all because in this world, we set everything in its place like God is God. So who am I to have a relationship with God? And why in the world would he care about what I think? Because he's God. He knows everything. But he does. So then who am I to sit around and argue with him about him wanting to sit down and talk to me? All right? Now, I think you understand the difference between a relationship and fellowship, right? Fellowship's intimate. Relationship's just... It's not just that it's surface, but it's just where you are in correlation to who's there. All right? Now, you know, I y'all know my testimony. You know where I came from. You know, I came out of... My parents raised me in church. And I was raised in a denominational church. I was always there in church. But I never really heard this term, walking in the Spirit. I never really heard that in the denomination that I was raised in. That wasn't talked about. But then as I came out and got saved and went through what I did, and then I got into more Pentecostal circles, this began to be a catchphrase I heard all the time, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Now, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not saying it was anybody's fault. But what I came out, what I ascertained through that term, walking in the Spirit, was that I had to pray enough, to read enough the Bible, that I got to a position or a place that then, I want to call it a level of holiness, that then God would direct my daily affairs and that then I would walk and be like Jesus. This is what I gathered from this. In other words, I was on a trail, a track. I was on the treadmill that I had to get myself up to this level of spirituality in order then I could connect with God and then I could be truly walking in the Spirit. Well, I want to kind of blow that out of the water today. Because walking in the Spirit is simply this, and you can write this down if you want, is a life of faith, trusting God at His Word, and accepting the fellowship He offers because He loves you. Hear me now. I'm going to say it again. A life of faith, trusting God at His Word, and accepting the fellowship He offers because He loves you. In other words, it's not me on the performance track and say, oh man, I didn't pray today, so God's not going to be talking to me. Do you see how you can get in trouble like that? Because then your spiritual walk with Jesus is going to be here and here and here and here and here and here. This past week, I came in contact with a demon from hell, some stomach virus. And I'll be honest with you, there was a point that any one of you I'd have given my pistol to, and you could have just shot me and put me out of my misery, buried me in the backyard. I was not doing well. And I want to tell you something. You know, when you're in that place, your mind says, oh, you need to pray. But when you're that sick, I can't utter nothing out of my mouth, but oh, God, help me. Are y'all with me? If your life is based upon your treadmill of holiness, well, then when you need to be praying the most, you can't because you're too tired, you're too exhausted, you're too beat up. Y'all with me? You can't live on this treadmill of trying to be at this performance level so then you can walk in the Spirit. The walking in the Spirit that God wants from all of us is this life of fellowship that we have with Him, that when we wake up in the morning, He's with us. And we know it and we have that assurance in our heart. Know why? And I'll get to that in just a minute. Because of Jesus. Now, you got to understand something. I have, in this congregation, y'all all know, I have varied relationships with everybody in here. But my wife's sitting over there. When I wake up in the morning, I don't have to call her and see where she's at. She's in the bed. Are y'all with me? I don't get up in the morning and have to walk in there and say, good morning, Laura. How are you doing? I would like today to be able to sit down with you and have some fellowship. We've been married for 35 years. I mean, we just wake up and We know what each other's thinking, and we know what who wants their coffee and how they're going to make their coffee and who's going to do what. And y'all with me? It's a natural thing. It just flows. I don't have to get up in the morning and try to figure out how I'm going to have fellowship with my wife. It's a natural course of my day. We just live together. We love each other, and that's just all there is. And she shares with me, and I share with her, and she preaches to me, and I preach to her, and we plan our day, and we go out, and we do this, and we do that, and that's just our life. Are y'all with me? There's no, I've got to really be performing today because I've got to have some fellowship with my wife. I don't have a list of the 10 things that Laura likes the most, and then I have to, rehearse them and go over them. Now I just declare, Lord, today, according to da-da-da-da, Laura likes this, and according to this, Laura likes this, and Laura likes this, and Laura likes this, and Laura likes this, and I have to get that in my mind and go with it, and I've got to remember that, I've got to remember that, I've got to remember that. It's natural. Are y'all with me? It's a natural thing. The walking in the Spirit and fellowship, what God is trying to say to us is He wants this natural response in our lives that we wake up and He's there and we know He's there and says, hey, good morning. Good morning, Lord. How you doing this morning? I got to get some coffee here, Lord. It's just real. It's just life. It's not something you're having to work up. Does that mean I don't read my Bible? No, I want to know more about Him and I want to understand more. Does that mean I don't memorize and quote Scripture? No, I do. Because I know that that's what is His heart, and I want that heart to be in me. Are y'all with me? Does it mean I don't pray? No, I pray. I'm talking about it's a natural thing, though. Walking in the Spirit shouldn't be something that you're having to work up and based upon your performance. Who would want a friend that acted like that? Who would want a friend that sent you flowers and chocolate and said, do you like me? Can I come to your house today? He said, what's the matter with you, Goofy? It's like I always joke, Dwayne and I have been close friends for a long time. And he and I can get in the truck together and drive somewhere and never say anything to each other and then get home and say, man, great evening, man. It's awesome. Go home, Laura, say, how was your trip? It was great, man. I love you. Yeah, Dwayne and I had a good time. And we could drive for 2 hours and never talk. He's okay with it, I'm okay with it. Are y'all with me? So what I'm trying to get you off of this morning is I'm trying to get you off of thinking that you have to be performing for God to have a relationship with you. I want to show you what the Lord spoke to me and show you what I'm calling the 3:16 principle of fellowship. Okay? Now, I'm going to back up just a tad on last week's message, but if you really want to get the full understanding of this, you need to go back and listen to last week's message. But I talked about Daniel in Daniel chapter 3 and about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fire. What I'm trying to get you to understand is when you face the fire in life, I don't want any of you to have to say, oh man, I should have prayed more this morning. When you're faced with the fire in life, I want you to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who had fellowship with their God every day and say to the king, I don't care what you're going to do, it ain't going to make any difference. God's here with me. God's here with me. That's the kind of fellowship I'm talking about. The kind where you go into the fire and He's there with you and you come out not smelling like smoke. Where you go into the fires of life that are there and you're not questioning, God, where are you? You say, man, you're here. Amen? Okay. Now go in your Bible to the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16. It's interesting the way God showed me this because in all these six principles I'm going to give you that are all 3:16s, John 3:16, so familiar. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to me now. The first thing that you've got to understand about the principle of having fellowship with God is that on your part, there has to be commitment. There's not any relationship you're ever going to have with anybody or anything that isn't going to require commitment on your part to have fellowship. Are you with me? The first principle you've got to understand about having fellowship with God is you have to understand salvation. You have to understand, what does salvation mean? A lot of people only want, like I said, want to have a relationship with God, only want to have a relationship with Jesus, and they only want it based upon him getting them to heaven. Jesus getting them to heaven. That's all they're looking for in that relationship. They just don't want to think that they're going to die and go to hell. But they're going to go and do what they want to do, how they want to do it, act like they want to do, and do what they want to do, but they want the ticket in their pocket to be able to get into heaven when the day comes that they die. And I'm telling you, that's wrong. I'm not questioning their salvation. That's not my job. But what I'm saying, that's wrong, because God wants more than that. He wants fellowship. All right? And fellowship requires commitment. It requires lordship. Now, it's interesting. Some of you may be shocked and amazed at some of the conversations that I have with the Lord, if you were listening in, you know, to my conversations with the Lord. You know, I'm not ugly. I'm not disrespectful. But when it boils right down to it, I know he's God and I'm not. Right? Because there's this level, this thing called lordship. That means I understand that if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be in the game. If it wasn't for Jesus and his blood washing me and cleansing me of my sins, I could not have any fellowship with my Heavenly Father. And so therefore, I know that, you know, my lordship is my submission to him saying, no, Jesus, without you, I. It's funny, the one scripture says, through Christ I can do all things. But you got to forget, you can't ever forget about John 15:5 says, but without Christ I can do nothing. Yeah, without Christ, you can do nothing. So this fellowship that you're based on is based upon your commitment to Jesus. And is he Lord of your life? Now, I want to stay on this for just a minute. Because I want everybody out there that's listening, that's watching, that's in here today to understand this. The Bible says that if you repent of your sin and you confess with your mouth and ask Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sins, that you're saved. It's with the confession of your mouth and the faith and the belief in your heart that salvation comes to you. Now, what is salvation? It's the blood of Jesus being applied to you that washes your sins away and makes you white as snow. It's like I've said to you before. If there was no speed limit, there's no sign, there's no law that says that it's 55 on the road, you know, or 70 or whatever what the speed limit is where you're driving, then a policeman cannot stop you and give you a ticket for speeding. It's that simple. If he stopped you, he'd say, what are you talking about? There's no speed limit on this road. I can go as fast as I want to or as slow as I want to. No, I just think you need to get a ticket. You say, that's ridiculous. You can't give me a ticket. There's no law that says that I broke a law. Why does God want to have fellowship with you? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you of your sins and put you in a place, in a position that he says you're clean and I want to talk to you. If you don't understand what salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. It's the open door to heaven and all that's in it. If you don't take it, you don't walk in it, that's your fault. Because you're not getting what Jesus paid for. And when you get to the understanding of what salvation is, then it takes you to that place of lordship because you're like, oh my gosh, I just can't, Lord, it's unbelievable. This is amazing. Does that mean you become haughty and arrogant? Absolutely not. You become more humble because you realize, man, without the blood of Jesus, I wouldn't have been in here. Without the blood of Jesus, how in the world could I have made it? Without the blood of Jesus, man, I don't stand a snowball's chance in hell. I ain't going to make it. Are y'all with me? So then it makes you more appreciative and you understand that what lordship's about because you're saying, man, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to stop right here for just a second because I'm going to throw in a commercial. And now for $19.99. No. The commercial I want to throw in is what I'm going to tell you what I'm seeing God doing. God wants to have fellowship with you so greatly that he's brought about in our church now what we're calling freedom prayer, where people that don't have been trapped in bondages and don't really understand salvation. Oh, they're not cutting up black cats in the back in a big cauldron and doing stuff like this. I'm talking about people who just maybe got too much church the wrong way and don't really know God loves them. What Freedom Prayer is doing is helping them hear the voice of the Father come into their life and break off the chains and the shackles in their lives that's kept them bound so that they can be free to enter into that fellowship. And that's what Freedom Prayer is doing. And Freedom Prayer is going to become, you're going to hear that more and more and more around this church because I'm seeing in 21 years of pastoring this church, in 30 plus years of being in the ministry and around the ministry, I'm going to tell you, it's the most astounding thing that I've ever seen of what God's doing. We've got brochures in the back, contact information, and contact Lex and Jeannie and get hold of them to get it. It's real simple. It's not wild and crazy. Not all Pentecostal, yay, hey, solid rock stuff. Because see, what happens to us is the devil does not want us to understand salvation. He does not want us to understand lordship. He wants us to live a life of being a dirty, rotten sinner who's barely saved, going to maybe someday get to heaven if he graces you so much and if you can possibly find your name scribbled in the side in the book of life. He wants to keep people in mind. Why? Because if you understood salvation, that means you're going to understand your relationship that your Father loves you and that you're clean and you're forgiven. And then that means from there then that all the promises of God are yes and amen to you and that you're going to walk in victory and you're going to walk in joy. So why not keep you in bondage? That's what the devil wants to do. He doesn't want you to understand that. He wants you to be crazy and raise your children crazy. He wants all your warped and twisted ways to go off onto your children that would be warped and twisted so that they can't understand and grab hold of the gospel and walk in it. Because I'm telling you, God's got all the promises in the world for you. He's got everything in the world for you. He'd give you everything that was your heart's desire is what he said. But people say, I don't want to walk in religious things and religious ways. I mean, I'm going to get all goofy and puffed up. Well, what's wrong with you is you've got an image of something in your mind that says what a religious person looks like. And I hope today that I'm as far from the image that you ever had in your mind. When I got into the ministry, the very first thing that was is people began to try to develop me to fit into that mold. And I hated it. And I had to submit to authority, but I hated it. All the time I hated it. And I said, God, if you only love me if I wear, khaki pants and a coat, or if I had to wear one of those leisure suits. And, you can tell, I didn't do the traditional preacher thing. You know, I wear my belt under my belly, not up over. I don't understand why preachers, you know, get in the ministry, and the longer they've been in the ministry, the higher their pants get. And I'm just like, dude, what is the matter with you? The danger about that is, you know, mine are cinched up pretty tight. You'd have a hard time getting them off. But if you wear them up here, well, then they're too big. They're going, whoo-hoo. So, you know, there's a big danger in doing that. Had a friend one time, both of us in the ministry, and he said to me, he said, what size pants do you wear? And I said, well, what are we on? Competition here? Who's got smaller pants? I said, I'm pretty sure I got you beat. And he said, well, what size are you wearing? I said, I wear 36s. He said, there ain't no way you wear a 36. I said, what do you got? He said, well, I got old 42s. And I said, I don't know what to say, fatty. And then he looked at me and says, well, you got your pants down under your belly. I said, amen. That's where they go. No sense stretching that up here. All I'm saying is you're not supposed to be molded into. And what's happened is people don't want to walk in lordship because they're like, oh, well, I have to be this person. Well, who in the world said that when the Bible says God made each of us as unique as this, you know, as the sand of the sea? We're all unique individuals. But what's happened to you is somewhere in you, something came to you, somehow was portrayed to you that this is the image. This is what it means to look like to be a Christian. This is the image you have to walk in. And if you're not walking it, well, then you haven't measured up. So therefore, you get a stronghold in your life because you say, well, I ain't going to go there because that, you know, I don't have to be that. And then you miss the fellowship that God wants with you because you've been taken out of the relationship that God wants to have with you. You've become in bondage. You're not walking in the salvation and the lordship that he wants for you and the victory. Because it took you out of there. And you say, well, Pastor, that's just the way I was raised, and that's the way I think it is. Well, then enjoy it. And leave me alone. There's no greater joy in my heart when somebody introduces me and say, oh, yeah, this is Robert Richards. And say, oh, Robert, what are you doing? I say, oh, Pastor, Living Waters Church. And they go, that stare comes on their face, that blank look. And I can know what's going on in their head, because what's going on in their head is like, dear God, what kind of church is that? But I want people to know that God loves all of us. He loves us just like we are. And we should be our own people, our own person. And he wants to have fellowship with you, not because you've acquired the white shirt and the bun and the hair. Because I've known people that have white shirts, and I've known people that had buns in their hair, and they were devils. Wasn't no good thing about them. Oh, I just thought about something. I ain't going to say it. almost spit that water out. That would have been a good blooper. So we have to understand what Jesus is talking about here. I can't tell you all the thought that ran through my head, so I'm sorry. Just going to just, it was a good one, but I ain't going to say it. So you got to ask yourself, where are you today? No, where are you today? In your salvation, where are you today? Are you just in salvation just to get God to do something for you? Is that the only relationship, the reason why you got him? You just want a ticket to heaven? Or are you in it for the real reason? That you believe with all of your heart that he's the Son of God. That you know that he has the answer to set you free. That he is your light, that he's your everything, and that he's made a way where there seems to be no way, and you're so grateful for it that you want to commit everything to him. You want to commit your life to him. You want to walk in that commitment that means you're going to ask him first before you act. Oh, how many times I've had the conversation with the Lord and said, man, Lord, I do not want to do what I know you want me to do. I want to act like a heathen right now. And I hear the little, still, small voice speak in my heart and say, yeah, and I just thank you that you're not. That's why I love to be around you, Robert. Just thank you that you're not. You want to, and you could, but you're not going to. That's because of lordship. Are you with me? And when I didn't catch it in time, he's still there to put his hand on my shoulder, squeeze my shoulder and say, come on, you're going to get it. It's going to be all right. I still love you. Pick it up. Let's go. Dust your britches legs off. Come on. I'm still here. Because he's not a fair weather friend. See, this is good. I want to end up on this. Listen. In our crazy warpness in our religious thinking, as long as we're on that performance track, we think God is too. When we don't perform, then he's not going to perform. So then think of how crazy it is. If God says, I love you with an everlasting love, I have more thoughts of you than the sand of the sea, you mean everything to me. I was there when you were formed in my mother's womb. But dadgummit, if you're going to act like that, I ain't going to have any fellowship with you. Does that even jive? Somebody said, well, you just don't understand the awesome, powerful, and holy God, the one who's there. Well, that sounds like the Wizard of Oz. The other day, I don't know how I came across it. I was doing some stuff on the internet. You know, I had little side things over there, and somewhere I went over there, and then I got lost out in cyber world, and when there was this deal, and don't even go try to look it up because it ain't even worth listening to. But it was a preacher, and he was talking about the end times, and he was talking about why America is not mentioned in the book of Revelations, but it really was mentioned because it really, America is Mystery Babylon, and actually America is the one who God's destroying in the end. And he went through this whole deal, and he had this all these things lined up that did line up. You know, that were like scripturally, he had twisted the scriptures around and got these things twisted all around where, I mean, if the person who didn't really have a relationship with God and didn't really know God would look at it and say, wow, that's really going to happen? And then he made the fatal mistake. He said, it's all going to happen in 2017. And I was like, you just played your hand there, buddy. Because nowhere, it says, ain't nobody knows it but the Father, so you done blown it right there. Now you're not lining up. And then it was easy to go back and untangle the web that he wove. You with me? But there's people in the world that don't know God. And they think God is like that he's going to be, you know, you're nice to him, he'll be nice to you. You do good, he'll do good to you. But that's not what he even says in the word of the relationship, the fellowship that he wants to have with you. So how could he be like that? If God is a fair weather friend, if you don't perform, he's out, he ain't going to talk to you. Well, then what kind of friend is that? That challenged some of your thinking. I can tell you right now, I'm looking at your faces, and I guarantee you that just challenged some of your thinking because you've been living with a God who is a fair weather friend. All based upon religious junk you've been fed in your life. And I want to tell you something, that's not the God that I know. That's not the God I fellowship with. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God who loved you so much that he had sent his own son to you to die on a cross for you. That's not him. That's a religious God saying to the people, well, if we tell them they're all, you know, completely the good news, well, God knows what they'll go do. We need to keep the people in bondage so that, you know, they'll be fearful. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And that's wrong. My Heavenly Father will correct me when I'm wrong. Oh, is he going to put cancer on me? No. Is he going to, you know, send down the fiery hand of God upon me and cause my day to be a wreck? No. What's going to happen is my fellowship's going to get broken on my side. He's still there wanting to fellowship with me. But because of what I've done and because of my thinking and my actions, I'm not going to go fellowship with him. And then I start to hurt. And he's there yearning, wanting me to come to him. Wanting me to be there with him by his side. And not till I get restored in myself do I go back into that fellowship, and there he is. Listen, God doesn't leave you. God doesn't forsake you. God is always there wanting to have fellowship with you. No matter what. No matter how goofy it is, no matter how much you can come up with crazy solutions and scenarios of why God didn't do what God should have done, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Bring out your indictment against the Almighty God. Lay it all out. Tell him why he's wrong because he didn't move on your behalf. He didn't do what you said he should have done or what you think the word says or how it should have been applied. I believe there was a man named Job who did that. I believe there was a man named Job and he did that. And he said it was all God's fault. Wouldn't have been his fault. Surely not mine, because I've been on the performance track of trying to do everything right. And I've done well. I've kept my records. I've got all the gold stars. They're all in line. And God finally shows up at the end and says, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Basically, you think you're so smart, you're dumb as a post. Box of rocks have got more sense than you do. But because I love you, I'm here. Because I love you, I never left you. You're the one that messed up, not me. Wasn't me that was messing up. It was your kids and everybody else. Are y'all with me? You can't live in that kind of a relationship with God. God is not a fair-weather God. He is not a fair-weather friend. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always standing there to have that fellowship with you. Amen? Now I want you to do something. Just put your Bibles up. And I want you just to stand up. And I want you just to bow your heads for a moment. I want you just to stop and give everybody around you some privacy. And just listen to me. If this message is spoken to you, or those of you watching and listening today, this message is in speaking to your heart, and you felt like God was a fair-weather friend. Right now you've got some grievance against God. You love him and you know he's God, you know he's right, and you want salvation, but it's just been real hard for you to walk in lordship because you just haven't been able to trust him. If that's you, then just raise your hand and just wave it to the Lord for just a moment. Say, Lord, that's me. You're talking to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray for you right now. And I want us to all pray this prayer together. And it may not mean anything to you as you pray it, but for those that are watching and listening and those that are in here today that it does mean something to, it's going to be some agreement with them. So pray this with me. Say, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I repent for thinking you're a fair-weather friend. Thanking, Lord, that my actions have caused you to leave me. Every place in my life that I blamed you for not working, I repent of. And I ask you now to forgive me, to cleanse me. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus, you're the Son of God. My sins are forgiven. My relationship is right, and I have fellowship with my Heavenly Father. Thank you today. I'm restored, I'm just like new. And I am happy, happy, happy. Amen. Now look at me, church. I can guarantee you when you leave this building, because the Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal the word of God that's been sown in your hearts. I want to guarantee you right now that some thought, some person, something will come in and try to steal from you what God is putting in you today. Don't let it happen. Stand strong. No matter what happens, stand up and just know, man, I'm having fellowship with God. You wake up in the morning and it's the worst day of your life, just saying, Lord, I just thank you. You're with me here in the middle of the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the middle of the fire and you're here with me. I just, Lord, I can go do anything as long as you're with me. You say, well, I don't feel like God's with me. Don't make any difference what you feel like. I feel like I'm 6'3". I feel like I'm 30. And I ain't. I don't know it until I try to jump. So I don't go by feelings anymore. Because if I'm going to go by feelings, I'm going to come up short. Hello? So it's not like, well, I don't feel God's close to me. Listen, it's a fact. I don't go get my birth certificate out every morning, look at my driver's license, remember what my name is. I know what my name is, and I know how to spell it. I had a person the other day argue with me that I'm spelling my name wrong. I said, it's my name. You sure it doesn't have a D in it? It got no D in it. Well, I've never seen it spelled like that. Well, today's the first. I'm serious. This person did not want to put it down on a piece of paper. I said, yeah, I know how to spell my name. I may look stupid, but I ain't that stupid. Hello? So what I'm saying to you is don't let the devil steal it from you. Stand strong. Amen? Now let me have my prayer team come down. I'm going to pray over you. We're going to close this thing. But if you're here today and you need prayer, well, then we're here for you. If you want to talk about freedom prayer, Lex and Jeannie and Repi, and come talk to them about it. But folks, I'm telling you, listen for God. He wants to come talk to you. Amen? So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just declare that as we leave this service, Lord, we're not leaving you. We're just changing places. Lord, we're just going out today to bless mothers and have a good time with family. But I just declare today, O Heavenly Father, that as we leave this building and go out there into this world, we can be bright and shining lights. We can show people your goodness. Show them your mercy. Lord, see all the great things going on in life. And Lord, this 316 principle you're giving us of fellowship, it's going to get rooted in our hearts. Lord, it's going to change us. It's going to set us free. And we thank you for it, Lord, that you're not a fair weather friend. You're there, the one that never leaves us nor forsakes us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you.